Welcome to FemTech at Work, the podcast where we explore the intersection of technology, health, and women's empowerment in the workplace. Hosted by me, Maaike Steinebach. This show will dive into the innovative solutions transforming women's health and well-being in the workplace. Join us as we chat with FemTech founders, industry leaders, and change makers who are pioneering advancements in FemTech and women's health. We discuss everything: menstrual health, reproductive rights, menopause, but also the challenges women face in the workplace and how innovation can overcome them. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting your FemTech journey, FemTech at Work is here to inspire and inform you about the future of health and wellness for women everywhere. Tune in and be part of the conversation. Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the podcast FemTech at Work. And we have a very special guest today from Singapore, Christina Ang, who is the founder of Hey Venus Integrated Health Science. Hi, Christina. Thanks for joining today.
Hi, Maaike. Thanks for having me today.
I know you have an incredibly rich background in corporate, and yet you decided to launch your own company. Can you share a little bit with our audience about your background and what inspired you to launch Hey Venus?
For sure. Well, my journey in women's health really started about 10 years ago. I had a small chain of a yoga studio, which was later acquired by someone. And I've come back in a big circle after working for over 25 years in HR. So I spent my career at the intersection of business, technology, and human capital, working with women in over 50 countries.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's been an amazing career. There is a big shift after working in the corporate for 25 years, and I'm about to tell you more about it later.
Yes. Tell me about Hey Venus.
Well, I say, as no matter the culture or industry that I've been in, I kept seeing this same pattern, that talented midlife woman struggling silently through health transitions that no one at work wanted to talk about. So coming from personal hormonal shift, which, by the way, I'm in my fourth year now in perimenopause, I also realized how invisible this issue was in both healthcare and corporate settings. That global lens makes it so clear that menopause isn't just about a woman's issue. It is a systemic gap. So, you know, before founding Hey Venus, I co-chair a menopause task force that successfully implemented enterprise-wide initiatives and policy across over 50 countries globally and three continents. Listening to those lived experience of those individuals across diverse cultural backgrounds gave me insights that created that sense of agency to want to do something more meaningful. Yeah, that experience really proved that change is possible. And so it inspired me to really want to scale solutions for workplaces across Asia and beyond. And now Hey Venus is building something really, really exciting for Q1 2026. And I'm extremely excited about that, that we believe this is when change happens and women in workplaces can navigate this life stage really confidently.
Yeah, it's incredible that you had the benefit of speaking and connecting and working with so many women across different cultures and different countries, right? Because there's a lot of stigma around women's health. And I always feel that we can't kind of talk about health issues in the workplace if we don't talk about health issues at home, right? And normalize these conversations, because how can you expect anybody to talk about this in the workplace if they maybe even haven't spoken about it to their partner or to their doctor? But I can also imagine there's so many issues that you came across, because when you look at women's health, it is a wide variety of challenges that women have. So why did you choose menopause?
Well, simply because it's the elephant in the boardroom. You know, menopause affects half the population.
Yeah.
Yet it's almost absent from workplace policy and healthcare conversations.
Yeah.
In Asia, our data shows that there is still a huge stigma that makes it even harder for women to speak up. And the cost of ignoring it is huge.
Yeah.
Talent loss, productivity dips, and preventable long-term chronic conditions like osteoporosis, dementia, heart health problem, all this can be prevented.
Yeah.
And I've seen how firsthand how policy change transforms culture, transforms talent retention. And therefore, I knew that this is something where my heart is and I could make the biggest impact here.
Yeah. When you were in corporate life, did you actually already encounter successful implementation of menopause policies in the workplace?
For sure. There were a number of things that in the corporate sector that we've seen how that has shifted the narrative, because there is so much myth about menopause, right? Firstly, menopause in a workplace is that people think that menopause is all about hot flashes,
yeah,
and happens to older women. Let's shift this narrative. In reality, symptoms can start in our late 30s and affect everything from focus at work to mental health.
Yeah.
Another misconception is that, well, there's nothing that can be done. In fact, early intervention and support can dramatically improve personal well-being, performance at work, and for corporates, talent retention.
Yeah.
So once we understand this misconception and myth, we shift that narrative and we look at how corporates can really support employees and their leaders.
Yeah.
And this is really like a two-pronged approach, right? It's a top-down where leadership understands how that impacts the bottom line and role model it, and bottom up from employees,
yeah,
just listening really intently about their lived experiences. It's so important to then embed this into the people's strategy and make it intentional and make it count.
Yeah, amazing. Last week, I had the head of HR of Capital Group on my podcast, and I feel they are kind of like the gold standard in terms of employee well-being. So not just around women's health, but just making sure that everybody kind of receives the support from their workplace that they need. And one of the things that resonated very much with me was what you said about the lived experience, where they have employee resource groups where they talk about a woman's experience with menopause or with IVF and where other colleagues can kind of ask questions. It's so important that these platforms exist. And the impact that that is having is that their retention, staff turnover is very low. People are extremely loyal. People are extremely happy and satisfied, so in much better kind of mental health. And that obviously all adds to a positive bottom line, right, for the company. So that's some really interesting case experience on what taking care of your employees in the workplace actually can benefit. You just mentioned that you were working on properly launching Hey Venus. I mean, obviously, you've already been around for a year, but you're really launching a new solution. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? How basically going forward, Hey Venus will support employers and employees in handling these menopause-related challenges?
Yeah, we are a clinician-led company, and we bring science and technology into the business because we feel like using science and technology and with evidence-based support behind it, it will actually enable equitable access for all women to actually access the knowledge and make better informed health choices. So what we're building is designed to make menopause support really effortless as possible for every woman, no matter where she works or lives. It's scalable. And it's stigma-free.
Yeah.
And it's built to integrate into our daily life without any disruption. And I have to say, no, it's not another dusty one-off PDF or wellness webinar. It's something that women would actually want to use because their lives are not against them. So currently, what we're doing is that we're developing it under the National Grid Program, which is with the support of Singapore's National Research Foundation. And the NUS and NTU. So NUS is the National University of Singapore, and NTU is Nanyang Technological University in Singapore.
Yeah.
So we're unveiling this regional first solution aiming at giving equitable access to support for women across Asia. I really can't share how just yet because it's our secret sauce, but I could tell you that it's built to remove the barriers that have kept so many women from getting the help they need.
Well, we're just going to watch this space and I'm going to have to take you back on the podcast when you actually launch. But in the meantime, you mentioned science-backed, data-backed, and obviously tech solutions so that it's scalable. You have been doing quite a lot of research, I guess, also in preparation of this launch. Can you share a little bit what some of the findings were? And in particular, based on also your experiences, what some of the unique cultural or workplace issues that are faced by menopausal women in Asia versus maybe the rest of the world?
In April this year, we officially launched our APAC first ever research data in partnership with the NUS BioEcho, Asia Center for Reproductive Longevity and Equality.
Yeah.
That survey reached over 1,700 women in 5 countries in the region.
Wow.
Yeah. The countries were Singapore, Japan, Indonesia, Australia, and Vietnam.
Wow.
And it was intentional that we picked those countries purely because of demographic sets.
Yeah.
And also diversity of culture. Our data shows that over 60% of women said that symptoms affected their work, but fewer than 2 in 10 had workplace support.
Wow.
Yeah. What is this stark data also reveals to us is that out of this group, over 70% are in mid to senior leadership roles.
Mm.
Now, imagine this. It's like 80% of both people managers and women want better support from their employers. It just shows that people manager want to be equipped with resources to help their colleagues to continue to thrive and bring their best selves to work. But current setting doesn't afford them to do that.
Yeah.
And these managers told us that they know the cost of losing institutional knowledge far exceeds the investment to support this demographic group, which is the fastest growing demographic group in today's workforce, right?
So, Christina, was there any difference? Because obviously, why diversity? You think about Japan, what kind of comes to mind is indeed kind of a lack of support, still big gender gap.
Mm-hmm.
Then you think of Australia, you think, well, it might be a bit better because they tend to follow more of policies of kind of what happens in Europe. But I think what you're telling me is that, you know, the issues across all these markets were basically uniform. Or were there any countries that significantly out or underperformed, let's say, in their support for women than others?
Well, across the board, that is the insights that we get. But in particularly when we talk about Australia, by far, actually much more advanced and progressive in terms of workplace policy. I don't believe that there is any legislation that has been done yet, but there's definitely workplace policy that is actually supporting menopause in the workplace. And the managers over there are also wanting to feel much more equipped with the right resources to help their peers, especially so that, you know, the diversity in Australia is so diverse, right? They have got so many different ethnicities there.
Yeah.
If you look at different sectors as well, we saw that in different sectors in Indonesia, in Singapore, and in Japan, some of the sectors actually do much better than the rest.
Oh, interesting.
Like financial services and technology.
Just to repeat, so financial services and technology are doing better or are doing worse than other sectors?
They're doing better because, you know, there is this whole thing about providing better support for employees. There are a lot of industry metrics that actually support that, benchmarking best place to work. And so far, surpassed the rest of the sectors that we look into, like manufacturing.
Yeah.
And communications and all the rest of the sectors. But having said that, there is a lot that can be improved because the respondents that we're getting from those other sectors are all calling out to want to have better workplace policies and support. And this is not just coming from women who are actually going through this stage of life. This is coming from people managers, senior as C-suite stakeholders in companies who are planning to do something better for their employees.
What out of the report surprised you the most?
What surprised us most is that there was one question about not only about workplace policies that we talk about in that survey. If you read our white paper that is available in our website,
yeah,
there is a concise version and there's a full version. Sorry for the fuck.
No. I already wanted to mention that the paper is available on your website. As you said, a condensed version.
Shameless plug of me.
No, absolutely. Because it's fantastic. It's the first type of research of its kind. So I think it's important people know where to find it and can get access to it. So please go ahead.
Yeah. So part of our research also talks about treatment, right? So what do women want to see treatment being done? And what's their perception on all the variety of treatment in the marketplace? And what surprises us is about the perception of HRT. They would actually want to seek out for holistic treatment first ahead of HRT. And that actually surprises us because the talk around HRT treatment is still a big stigma.
Yeah.
And let's not go to that. It says that this is part of the reason why heaviness is clinician-led. Because we want to not only talk about holistic treatment that is available, especially for Asia Pacific, where we have a whole plethora of TCM, Ayurvedic treatments and all that available.
Yes.
And scientific treatments like HRT. But part of our job here is also to open up all this awareness and knowledge that all of this are available. And for women to pick the right choices that is good for them at that moment in their life.
Yeah, I think we have such an incredible task ahead of us because as we started off this conversation, there is still such a big knowledge gap with employers, but you can't really blame them considering there is still such a big knowledge gap with women themselves and even the healthcare providers where, you know, there has been very little training on menopause or hormonal health in general. But what is very exciting is that obviously menopause is globally having a lot of traction and a lot of momentum. And as you rightfully pointed out, it is a boardroom conversation because it affects a very, very large and growing demographic in the workplace. We spend so much time bringing more women into the workplace. We also want to make sure we keep them. So looking at more and more providers coming into the market with menopause kind of services, what do you think makes heaviness stand out?
For heaviness itself, as I mentioned earlier, that we are clinician-led and we lead with this thought in mind and trying to build empathy into the science and technology that we are about to introduce. But it's all about, first, to your words, if women are not aware of this phase of life, how do we expect employers to support us? So first is about creating the awareness and then have a sense of agency and urgency to want to do something for ourselves.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, all our awareness programs are tuned into preparing both people managers and women to take charge so that we can all thrive both at work and in the community and at home. So what I see where heaviness is really stands out is that we have also just recently, by the way, launched our cross-sector menopause task force that we co-chair with the NUS ACRO, which is the Asia Center for Reproductive Longevity and Equality. And we bring together senior stakeholders in the market across public and private healthcare, government, and the corporate sector. And in this cross-sector menopause task force, we are shaping a best menopause guidelines in the region. And we're starting with Singapore. And through this, we're also bringing the lens from the policy perspective and changing the systemic policy that we believe strongly in. Our membership with the United Nations Productivity Fund Equity 2030 Alliance, we're using that to actually shape the policy and build inclusive design using technology and science. And inclusive design is important because we can't leave the empathy out of the picture and bring only science and technology.
Well, and I think in today's environment where we are all more digital, we were all more online, we're all using AI, I think the real part that makes us human is empathy, right? So excited to see what that is going to look like in the coming months. If you had a magic wand and you could basically make one wish that every employer understood about menopause and supporting women at work, what would it be?
Can I have many, many wishes? So greedy. If it's just one wish, Mikey, I want every employer to know this, that we should shift the narrative, reframe this. We know that menopause is not about age. And we know that menopause can actually be the supporting employees in the workplace is important. So menopause isn't about charity. It is one, the right thing to do because it has societal impact. Two, is about talent retention. Now, these are your most experienced employees who are mentors and leaders. With the right support, they don't just stay. They thrive and power your next phase of growth.
Yeah.
For me, menopause care isn't just about easing symptoms. It's really about restoring a woman's sense of agency. And what does that mean? It means treating it as a leadership priority and a well-being priority, not a woman's issue.
Yeah.
Now, when women feel in control of our health and our careers, we don't just stay in the workforce. We lead, we mentor, and we shape the future. That's a change Haviness is here to make.
Oh, I love that. That is very, very powerful and very much aligned with what I would like to see as well. So that's so exciting. Let's come back a little bit to talk about you, Christina. When you started Hey Venus and you kind of told your family and friends that you were going to quit your corporate role and become a femtech founder, how did they respond?
Oh my God, how did they respond? The first thing, they look at me and they say, is this real, Christina, that you decided to hang out your corporate suit and do this? And I said to them, without any doubt, I will have to do this. I mean, I've done so many things in the HR space, in talent management, and in diversity, equity, and inclusion. There are just two things that I think will really, really power every woman in this world about thriving. And these two things are health and wealth. I mean, how else would we not do this for women? Okay, it does sound like a very noble cause, which is very cliche, but really in my heart tells me that this is not a one woman's job. And I see so many femtech entrepreneurs doing this. I'm really happy that there is a kind of a buzz in this world right now talking about women's health, not just about menopause itself. It's about longevity. It's about increasing our health span. And so I think coming back to what my family and my friends say about this, it took me actually, when they saw me launching this research with NUS, they realized that Christina is here for real.
Yeah.
She's done so much. And she's like talking about data and all that. And they've always believed in me doing something really about systemic change. And just on this level or scale, they are all behind my back. My family, my husband, my 13-year-old son as well. He has more knowledge about menopause than a lot of people out there right now, I had to say.
I can imagine.
So yeah, I'm really lucky to have this privilege and the space that my family and friends has they have allowed me to create here. And for many femtech entrepreneurs, the sponsors and champions like yourself out there is giving me this opportunity to talk about this. And I feel really grateful about this.
This all sounds very positive. And obviously, you have so much corporate credibility with all the work that you've been doing that I'm pretty sure you obviously have a lot of support from family and friends, but I also think the industry would be very excited to see somebody like you bring solutions to them. But have you experienced any challenges?
So many challenges, but as easy, as basic as, you know, looking around for being a femtech startup founder, everything is very lean, right? And resource tight. So it's all about, there's so many things that one can do. But I've learned how to lead with prioritization.
Yeah.
And that's so important because that keeps us as a startup really lean and focused and impact where it matters. And it's all about prioritization, I have to say. When we talk about tech solution, there's 1,001 things that we features that we can actually roll out. But what is most important for our women here? And what is most important for our employers with KPIs?
Yeah.
That's where we want to lean our prioritization on. And also talking to the right stakeholders in the ecosystem. What is important? What kind of pain points are we trying to solve here with the limited resources that we have?
Yeah.
And lean on each other.
Yeah, that's also really good advice to give to other femtech founders, I guess. You know, when you work from a position of scarcity, make sure you prioritize and make sure you have a very clear kind of understanding what problem you're trying to solve. We're almost at the end, Christina, unfortunately, but maybe just finishing off with a view on menopause and the future of menopause, based on what you are seeing in Asia coming through from the universities, from the healthcare practitioners, from the different governments, even menopause societies, femtech startups. How do you see the future of menopause care evolving, both in Asia and globally?
I really think that there is a very, very positive future in menopause care in Asia, just solely because there is a lot of buzz. And we are in Asia. The good thing is that everyone is so energetic about wanting to make change. And we are all very curious bunch of people already with energy. So I would say that there is a lot of positive traction. Well, employers are very eager to learn more because it impacts the well-being of the employees and the ecosystem, the healthcare. The healthcare ecosystem is sitting up right now thinking about how else can we actually use science to actually solve real-world problems for women. And for the government, it is a societal issue here right now. So we are all facing an aging population. Let's all think about it cohesively, collectively, about how we can make change happen with a very balanced approach. Pragmatic approach.
Yeah.
And then for all femtech entrepreneurs out there, I think there is a lot of drive in trying to find the right solutions to innovate and all that. So I see all in all, very, very positive traction going forward in the next 3 to 5 years.
Well, that's very exciting because that basically means that for women like us, they are going, and our daughters and our granddaughters, and as you rightfully pointed out, our partners and sons, there is going to be a future where menopause is not going to be seen as a restriction, but actually as a way to empower women into that final third phase of their lives. So thank you so much, Christina, for being with me today. For the listeners out there, Christina's details and the details about Hey Venus and the amazing research that she's been doing will be available in the show notes. And if you enjoyed this episode, please like and share so that we can give these incredible founders like Christina the voice and recognition that they deserve. Christina, thank you so much. Cannot wait to see Hey Venus and your solutions for employers and employees come to life. And thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Mikey.
Thank you.